It's Tuesday, June 5th, and I'm here by myself. In case you haven't heard him mention it 10 or 15 times per newscast in the last 6 months, Wendell's gone to Computex. And Krista is somewhere in the hills of West Virginia, probably severely dehydrated by now. So, it's me. I'm not happy about it. You're not happy about it. Although, I'm positive that all of you are too sensitive and socially well-adjusted to mention that with cruel comments. Most importantly, the YouTube algorithm is not going to be happy about it. But here we are. You know what we do? We got to take our sour grapes and we have to make delicious wine. And as promised, I've been pre-gaming for about 15 minutes. So maybe it'll be more entertaining. Who knows? I don't know. Let's get right to it. In case you haven't heard about the hot new outrage point on the internet, it's the new EU laws, or that is the proposals for new EU laws. This is the proposed link tax and the copyright filters. So if you don't know what these are, there are these proposals that have been written up, and what they want to do is they want to tax links to websites. And you're thinking, well, that's madness. Yeah. Are you saying that if I post a link on my website to another website, I owe them money? Absolutely true. Every time it's clicked. And the other one is the mandatory filters to try and prevent copyright material. So you must install a filter on your website that keeps any links to anything that's considered copyright material off of that site, preemptively. And these things are insane, of course. It's absolute madness. And now that we've seen the GDPR in effect, and the unwanted repercussions of that, you can just imagine how bad this is. But it is a little bit blown out of proportion. You see, these proposals are in their infancy. It's in the very early stages. There are years before this will go to a vote. Although, as TechDirt comments here, now is the time to get involved. I'm not going to pretend to understand how EU law works, how things become laws, how the whole process. And it's not because I look down on those socialist governments and consider them a lower form of humanity. It's not that. The reason is, actually, it was the thing I said before, but that's not what's important. What's important is you're supposed to call your MEP. I don't know what a MEP is, but you need to call them and voice your concern about this. Now, there is the incendiary nature of this. There apparently is a group of lawmakers who are pushing back on some of these things, at least in the media. You know, the talking points are, yeah, this is a little crazy. But that doesn't change the idea that you should try to get in front of it. You know, we look at net neutrality. We look at GDPR. So you should learn about this and not just listen to my summation of it. You should go and read articles about it, like the ones linked in the description above. And do what you can to voice your displeasure, because this really would be an insanely crazy thing. We talk about China and their firewall and all of their efforts to keep social media and everything out. And I thought of a great analogy. China's like an overbearing mother who won't let her children go to the party because there might be some drugs and rock and roll at the party. But now the EU is turning into a much, much darker situation. The EU is a mother who insists on chaperoning the party. And if you disinvite her children because of that, she will sue you. So, dark times, but maybe not quite as dark as they're being shown on the internet. But then again, is it really a bad idea to scare people into action? I don't know. I don't think it is. I think it's a good idea. I think you should call your MEP. If you don't have a MEP, just find one and call them, you know. And this is another one of those GDPR type things where they're trying to legislate for the entire world. It's not just Europe, but if you do business in Europe, and they're going to sue you. So part of it is the EU has these great laws that sort of prevent this type of thing about the copyright filters. Like there's, you know, freedom and these privacy laws, and it's like, well, you can't just root around in everybody's links and search them and try to filter them against the list and all that stuff. So what they've done to get around that is they've rolled back the barriers to suing those people. So it's like, well, you don't have to do it. But if you don't do it, we're going to sue you. You know, just like that.
Oh,
almost spilled my wine. Just like that overbearing mother that I referenced earlier. I don't like wine. Alcohol is a terrible drug. Not to be outdone. Well, yeah, I guess they kind of were outdone. But the FCC, we've got a triplet. That's not. We got three FCC stories that give the GDPR and the EU these crazy laws to run for their money. The first one relates to Sinclair. Now, if you're new here or you haven't been paying attention, Sinclair was the previous home place of Ajit Pai. He worked as a lawyer for them. And it seems like Sinclair has been getting some really preferential treatment when it comes to the FCC. In fact, they want to acquire another business. I've forgotten what it was. But this kind of merger and acquisition is actually being blocked because our media companies and our ISPs, which are one and the same, have been merging into these big monolithic monopolies, and that's a bad thing. And we have some regulations in place to stop that kind of thing. But interestingly enough, these regulations have been disappearing just as soon as they get in the way of the Sinclair merger. And a lot of people have called attention to it, but the FCC assures us not to worry. This is total coincidence. The fact that just as soon as these get in the way of this merger and acquisition, they are immediately undone by the FCC's hand. It's just total coincidence. Even though there's like five different examples of it, total coincidence. And you should stop worrying about it. But not everybody at the FCC thinks so. A couple of people have spoken out about it and they say, yes, we are totally abandoning the people. We're gifting the corporations what they need. The argument, as it always is with Ajit Pai and his cohorts, is we're rolling back needless legislation. You know, we want to get this regulation off the books because it's bad and it slows things down, and we want a free market. But sort of betraying that is one of the things they reinstated to reduce regulation was a UHF loophole. And there's some kind of rule that a certain percentage of the news outlets in a certain market can't be the same company. And that they just reinstated this weird UHF loophole to bypass that. So it's like we're deregulating sometimes, re-regulating sometimes, and it just so happens that it's perfect for this merger to go through. Pretty disturbing. So if you haven't seen some of the YouTube videos of Sinclair Broadcasting sending a script out to all the local news stations, and that's what's happening here. They're acquiring a bunch more local news stations. But you got to go watch the video. I think it's actually in this TechDirt article. Again, the link is in the description. And you can see all the local news stations just parroting the same ideas and the same things. They're reading from scripts written by Sinclair. And there's going to be a lot more of it when this happens. And notice I don't say if this happens, because it's probably going to happen. The FCC also has these wonderful... Oh, you know what? I forgot to drink. If you want to follow along with the drinking game, every time there's government corruption or dystopian future, or you laugh because the only other option is to weep and you don't want to lose the respect of your family and coworkers, take a drink. Play along at home. You can adjust to the alcohol volume of your beverage so that you don't black out. Or don't. That was a government corruption drink. So yeah. FCC has broadband maps. And this shows where broadband is available so that they can go about fulfilling these promises to get broadband to the more rural places and places that don't have it. And they actually hand out money. They give federal money to ISPs who are presumably going to use that money to roll out broadband to more areas. The reality is they put that money in their pocket and give the customer the finger. But the money's there and they have to give it out. So they use these maps. And a lot of people are pointing out that these maps are ridiculous. They're false. They give the impression that there's broadband a lot more places than there really is broadband. They consider the mobile stuff to be part of it. It's just an absolute mess. But a couple of senators have come out and they've said, you have to do something about this because this is federal money and you need to figure out the truth about these things. Stop polling the ISPs, maybe talk to the people, maybe put some boots on the ground, figure out what's going on. And the FCC says, we're going to need a 90-day extension. And nothing will change. Government corruption drink. If you're wondering what kind of wine I'm drinking, I just pick one at random. And I don't want your wine suggestions. I won't drink again for another 6 months. Well, these mergers and acquisitions. Remember that story we talked about like one story ago? They're going on a lot. And we're pairing our media companies, and more importantly, our broadband ISP companies and our wireless carriers down to these giant monolithic corporations who just put their boot on our necks and they make us suffer. And you can't buy a decent house out in the country because they don't have internet. Let me tell you, it's disgusting. Well, we have these laws, again, these regulations in place. And during the Obama administration, one was put in that said, you know what? We need at least four wireless carriers. If we get lower than four, that would be crazy, right? We need four. And the top U.S. antitrust official has said, I don't know if we need four. You know, three's good, right? I mean, three, that's choice. That's a lot of choice. The American people don't need four choices. He actually said that. Corruption drink. So yeah, look forward to that. Three choices. And going forward with this ISP / regulatory agency corruption thing, here's kind of a good story. Maybe we won't have to drink for this one. AT&T has given up with its appeals process and now wants to settle with the FEC when it comes to unlimited data throttling. So if you don't remember this story, AT&T offered unlimited data. Unlimited. But in reality, once you hit an arbitrary data cap, they throttled your connection to slow you down ridiculously. And you got like dial-up speeds once you were done with the cap. And the FTC stepped in and said, hey, you know what? That's a limit. You know, you said that word unlimited, and yet you limited the account after a certain data cap. So that would be a contradiction. And we're going to sue you because of that. And we want refunds. Well, AT&T had been appealing this, but now they've given up. So they are going to negotiate with the FTC. They're going to settle. You might see some refunds if you were an AT&T user that was affected by this. But it also, they've given up the fight, which is very important because they're no longer keeping up with this fight that says the FTC should not have any say when it comes to wireless carriers and things like this. They're like, you know, this is a FCC matter, not an FTC matter. But with the rollback of net neutrality, the argument has kind of lost its teeth. So the FTC does have some authority. Don't get too hopeful, though, because the only time the FTC can step in here, well, not the only time, but one of the few times, is when they do things like promise something and fail to deliver it. In this case, the unlimited plan that had limits. So it's not like the FTC can step in and fix all the wrongs. They have to do something really stupid like this before the FTC can step in. But hey, it's a small victory, right? A tiny victory. We'll take all we can. Well, we talked about the EU. We talked about good old America. And now we need to talk about Germany, which is in the EU. So this is kind of redundant, but this is just Germany. And the German courts have decided that the German spy agencies can, in fact, spy on the internet hubs. Now, it turns out a lot of international internet traffic goes through Germany. China and some of Eastern Europe and a bunch. It's one of the hubs. A lot of traffic goes through there. So the courts want to spy on that traffic. And it's the same old song and dance. It's, you know, we're not spying on Germans. We're spying on international people, you know, those filthy internationals. always doing terrorism and crime, and we need to watch them. But of course, just like in America, when we had our data collection stuff, and I say that as if it's not still going on, which it is, the people argue that, hey, you can't just, you're scooping up everything. And how do you know what's foreign and what's not until you look at it? That's not okay. You can't do that. So they took it to court, and the court has said, that's fine. You can do that. Totally cool. Go for it. So they actually have, the network is built in such a way that it just makes a copy. It just sends, it splits the stream, and they got a copy. So good times in Germany. That's a government corruption drink. Oh, I just don't like wine. Apple. This one, I don't know if this one belongs in. This is government policy, by the way. I don't know if this one belongs here. But it kind of does because it's related to Russia. So as you might know, again, if you've watched this program religiously, and if you haven't, I don't know what the fuck your problem is, but Russia has banned Telegram. They want it out of the country. What they actually wanted is they wanted the keys. They wanted to be able to read the Telegram messages, but the Telegram founders said, no, not going to do that. So instead, they've blocked it. And since that day, Apple, oddly enough, has prevented Telegram from making updates on the iOS platform. Interesting stuff. Since then, Apple has added some new features. I can't remember what it was called, because I don't care about Apple, to be honest. But Telegram doesn't have it, and a lot of people are like, hey, Telegram, that's a big app. Why don't you support this? And so they admitted on Twitter they haven't been able to update their app. Apple is just refusing to publish any updates. I suppose the fear is that they're trying to do something to circumvent the Russian block or something like that or whatever. Somebody got in Apple's ear, and they're punishing Telegram. More importantly, Telegram is not GDPR compliant because they can't update their app to be GDPR compliant because they haven't been able to update it for something like a month. So they could get sued because Apple won't let them update the app. It's a sticky situation. That's not government corruption, but I'm going to drink anyway, right? Speaking of Russia, I didn't mean to put these two stories together. This was just magical coincidence. Kismet. Kaspersky had their lawsuits tossed, and the ban will continue. If you don't know the story with Kaspersky, the American government thinks that they're in league with the Russian government, and they have punished them. They've banned them, and you can't use them in the U.S. government software and stuff like that. You can still buy them in America, but a lot of places like Best Buy and stuff won't sell it. Anyway, they said that was wrong, and for a variety of reasons, you shouldn't be able to do it because they're not in league with the government, or so they claim. And they sued, and shockingly, a Washington, D.C. court threw out the cases. So the ban will persist, and Kaspersky is probably not in a good place financially because of that. So, those pesky Russians. Google, I'm not drinking on that one because, I don't know. I'm on the fence. I'm also getting a little bit of a buzz, so I think I have to slow down a little bit. I have to drive home after this, so I'm going to Twitch stream to sober up. But I didn't bring any food. I didn't think this through. Google, also guilty of not thinking things through. They have Project Maven. So if you don't know about Project Maven, we reported on it. Why don't you know? It's Google working with the Pentagon, specifically working on visualizing the battlefield with AI. Drones in particular, they mentioned. So a drone flying over enemy territory using the TensorFlow AI to image recognize what's going on below it. Sounds a little scary, right? That's a little bit like Skynet. Well, a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people, there was some backlash, especially from inside Google. So a couple of people quit. I think like 12 or 13 high-level people at Google quit. A memo went around and everybody signed it and said, we don't want to be a part of this. So Google, to try and sort of put out the fire, has released these ethical guidelines. So they're saying, yeah, we're going to work with the military, but we're going to follow these ethical guidelines that include not being part of offensive weaponry and things of that nature. Unfortunately for Google, it didn't work because people just became more and more angry about it. And now Google, beaten and bloodied and embarrassed, have backed out of Project Maven. They will no longer be a part of it. But interestingly enough, there have been leaks that have shown that other companies might have been involved with Project Maven. And those companies might include Amazon, to do the cloud hosting of all the Project Maven stuff, you know, because you need a lot of horsepower. You got a lot of different drones uploading information. You want to analyze it in real time. There was talk of a lot of the big companies. NVIDIA might be involved because, of course, NVIDIA is sort of leading the way in terms of AI processing with their GPUs and AI-specific hardwares. So a lot of people are saying, oh, okay, so Google's out of the picture. But who else is still involved? Who else is still part of this horrible thing? And leaked emails showed that Google's explanation of this, of saying, well, we were just, you know, putting our toes in the water and we were just trying it out. And okay, we're not going to do it because you're right, it's wrong. Well, it turns out these leaked emails show that Google very much knew what they were getting into. They anticipated this public backlash and took steps to try and avoid it. There's language in there about, like, eventually this is going to get leaked and we need to prepare for that. We need to figure out how to sort of downplay the horror show that this is. And they even talked about when they backed out of the program, they were like, well, it was just like 15 million and that's not a big deal to us, so we'll just leave it alone. But these emails show they expected this to expand into hundreds of millions, if not more, because they expected the Pentagon had already set aside a ton of money to be like, oh, yeah, give us this great battlefield AI awareness and we will just throw bags of cash at you. So Google's not going to do it. Something tells me that someone else will. You know what I forgot to mention? We redid the set. I mean, you've already noticed, but I should have mentioned this in the beginning. The other thing I need to mention, I just spotted it in the camera, is this display is, it's freaking out. Because the computer that we've got to drive the displays is not up to the task of driving two displays. We actually added a TV. What do you call that in the middle of a play where people go outside and use the bathroom? I can't think of that word. But a small break in the news. We got another TV. The patrons have gifted us money, and we have used it to improve the set. So we got a new TV. It's a little bit fucked up, but it's new. It's good. The TV itself is good. It's the computer driving it. Also, the computer driving it, while we rearranged the desks or the set, we damaged it somehow, and the internet connection is gone. So I was going to change the picture, but I can't. I actually had a really cool picture of cats' faces and Godzilla's faces making the same faces. I was really excited about it, but didn't work out. But yeah, we got the new set. So thanks to the patrons. God's people. I'll tell you, they're doing God's work. Oregon. There was no segue there, but Oregon. Oregon has had a false emergency alert. We've had false emergency alerts in Hawaii. We've had false emergency alerts in Alaska. And now Oregon. This one was kind of fun because it was not specific. The one in Hawaii was a nuke. So that was like, you're all going to die. The one in Alaska was a tidal wave, I think, or tsunami, which they're probably going to kill you. This one was just prepare for action. You know, what? It could mean a lot of things. It could be a sexual advance. Prepare for action. So the Oregonians, is that how you say that? Oregon, that's stupid, isn't it? Oregonians. The Oregonians flooded the supermarkets and bought up all the water. Everybody just buys bottled water when shit goes down. That's probably a good thing to get, I guess. I don't know. Seems like you'd want to prepare a little bit more. But bottled water, that's a start, I guess. And it was just a mistake. That was a default message, and somehow this thing went out, and there was no emergency. So, good job, Oregon. Oh, I'm starting to feel it. Uber. Uber has a panic button. So, wait, you know what? I think an emergency alert, a bad emergency alert, I should drink to that, right? Yeah. Uber. Uber has a panic button. So while you're riding around in your Uber, there's going to be a button in the software. And if you feel threatened by your driver or anything going on during the Uber ride, you can push this button and 911 will be dialed. That's a savings of 2 button presses. See, 911, that's 3. Emergency Uber button, that's just 1. On top of that, Uber plans to offer, where it's legal, because some places it's not legal, to offer 911 information through the emergency button click of where you currently are and where your destination and starting point were. So if your Uber driver begins to sexually assault you, you push one button and the authorities are dispatched to your current location. So maybe a little disturbing, you know, but what something else that did happen, I didn't include it in the list, is a Uber driver and his passenger got into a shootout. They both had guns. Uber drivers aren't supposed to carry guns, which is crazy because, of course, if there's a rule that says you're not supposed to carry a gun, I'm going to rob you. And that, I don't know how that played out. I didn't follow up on that. But this guy could have certainly used the emergency button. Now, I don't think the emergency button would, the drivers have them too, not just the passengers. I don't think the emergency button would dispatch police quickly enough to stop someone who has a gun on you at the time. So probably a smart move for him to be armed. But anyway, there was an Uber shootout. And one of those guys ended up in the ER. And you know what might happen if you end up in the ER? If you take your smartphone, which let's face it, you're going to take it. Waiting times in American hospitals can be pretty crazy. So you're going to want to have a smartphone. Because while you're in pain, you want to look at cat pictures. You know, get a little endorphin to sort of offset your kidney exploding. I've experienced that. I was pacing around the emergency room when I had my kidney stones up because I was in horrible pain. Anyway, that's not important. What's important is geofencing, right? What is geofencing, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. Geofencing is when advertising is targeted toward a specific location. For example, an emergency room. So law firms target injury law ads that have to do with, you know, negligence and social security injuries type of stuff, whatever. If you go to the ER with your phone for the next month, you might get law firm ads that you wouldn't normally get because, of course, you were in the ER. And it's literally just the ER. You know, if you go to your urologist, you might not get those ads. But if you're in the ER, they're thinking, there's a possible... A lot of people call lawyers that do this kind of thing ambulance chasers, but you don't have to chase the ambulance at all. You just wait, and the ambulance brings the customers to you. A lot of people are upset about this because it's also a privacy thing. You know, obviously your phone is identifying you in some ways. The data could be leaked. The data could be gamed in some way. So, heads up. Maybe leave your smartphone at home when you go to the ER. But again, I wouldn't recommend it because you have to wait sometimes. And you could watch the Level 1 news while you're in the ER, right? Because that's going to cheer you up because it's so cheery around here. Yeah. Cell phone spying. That's important, right? Kind of what we're talking about. It turns out cell phone spying is going on in Washington, D.C. near the White House. So what? I saw a glitch. I kind of like it, you know, like this display back here. It's kind of like you're being watched, but the powers that be are trying to destroy the signal because they don't want you to know. Anyway, these are stingrays. We've talked about stingrays before. These are devices that intercept your phone signals. They pretend to be towers and get your information, and you know they can really track what's going on because your phone is offering them all the information. It's like, oh, a friendly cell tower. Let me give you all of my information. And then they greedily take it in and do bad things with it. So these are going on all around the Capitol. And some people hired a private firm to look into that. And the private firm is like, oh, yeah, they're everywhere. So then Homeland Security did their own study. And they were like, oh, they're all over the place. I can't help but wonder, though, like, if this is happening and we're not really doing anything about it, is it maybe not just us doing it? You know, like, are we maybe not just spying on the people of D.C.? And the clearly, if you've looked at the news, I hate to conjure the name of Trump because it's so it dissects the audience so badly. But if the intelligence agencies hate Trump as much as they do, and vice versa, which is clearly true, maybe they're spying. You know, they've been known to do that. I don't know. Whatever. Oh, I've clicked an ad. What have I done? Steam. Everybody who's anybody has Steam. In fact, 125 million people. I don't know if that's just in America. I don't know. Anyway, that's a lot of people, right? That's a lot of people with Steam. Turns out there was a horrible, horrible vulnerability that would allow remote attackers, it was some sort of packet injection type deal, to just run whatever software they want on your machine. These guys did a demonstration, if you want to look at the details of it. They were able to open calculator on the victim's computer using Steam. And that's bad news, but it's been fixed, so everything's cool. Don't worry about it. Just letting you know, just, you know, FYI, you were, your security was non-existent for the entire time that you had Steam. So, yeah. Yahoo, how about them? Not been a good decade for Yahoo, to be honest with you. The 2010s, it's been bad. They got hacked. And they also pretty much faded out of relevance. But the hacking was the Russians. Oh, those the fucking Russians, man. The Russians hacked Yahoo. They got the accounts. Well, it turns out they weren't quite as good as breaching the individual accounts, right? They got the list. They targeted individuals in the list whose emails they wanted to hack, and they sent them to a Canadian by way of Kazakhstan gentleman who had a website that advertised hacking. He did $100 per email address, which, that's pretty reasonable, you know? That's budget hacking right there. So the Russians sent him a bunch of politicians and so forth. He hacked their emails and changed the security questions and so forth and gave them back to the Russians so that they could infiltrate these people's emails. Charged him $100 a piece. Well, he has been sentenced to 5 years for his terrible crimes. He admitted to it. Pled guilty. Pleaded. I don't know if it's pled or pleaded. I like pled better. But these articles all say pleaded. A lot of people say broadcasted. I don't think it's broadcast. I think it's broadcast. Anyway. Yeah. That story wasn't very good, was it? You know what? I included a lot of stories because I thought that I wouldn't have as much to say. But I'm really feeling the alcohol, and that is loosening me up to quite a degree. Oh, I'll let you see me drink. Visa. If you're in Europe, you know that Visa was down. Friday, I think? June 1st? Yeah. Wait. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was Friday. So Visa was down. You couldn't make any payments in Visa. And American Express and MasterCard and, you know, those other companies, they seemed to be okay. But then later that day, they also went down. Terrible tragedy. And of course, a lot of Europe has gone to these cashless societies. You know, it's the war on cash. Want to get rid of cash. Oh, how's that working out for you? Yeah. If you can't use your cards, what were you doing on Friday? Were you picking through your pantry, eating olives and what else is there's some things that people always have in their pantry. Parmesan cheese. Were you just licking Parmesan cheese off a stick? You filthy socialists. The TSA. If you've flown in America, you know that the TSA, they like to get a hold of your junk and jostle it around. They're looking for weapons and explosives, presumably. But they like to get a pretty girl and they like to just put their hands on her. Well, a lot of people don't like that. And a lot of people speak out. There's even a protocol where you can be like, I don't trust this high school dropout TSA agent. Get me a witness so that somebody else is watching, and when he puts his hands on my balls, somebody's going to know about it, right? It turns out you go on a secret watch list. If you fight back against the TSA for any reason, if you complain about their groping, you go on the watch list. Pretty weird. They've also talked about people who just loiter around the TSA checkpoint, maybe filming. They hate it when those videos come out. So if you do anything that the TSA doesn't like, you're going to go on the secret watch list. What happens to you on the secret watch list? Nobody knows. It's a secret. But you better not speak out when somebody grabs your junk, because the watch list, clearly. Facial recognition. We talk, you know what? TSA. I got a drink for this. I think I've skipped a couple, but I mentioned earlier I don't drink alcohol. My tolerance is real low, and I've got two more news episodes to do, so it is, yeah. Those are going to be interesting. Tune in on Friday, because that's the liver is catching up to the stomach at this point. Oh, terrible. Facial recognition. Schools are installing facial recognition. So the idea here is there's going to be a blacklist, right? Students who are weird and creepy and maybe have done things that people think might turn them into a school shooter, they're going to go on the blacklist. Anybody in the community that has, like, you know, violence, types of crimes, things like that. Probably if you tweet pictures of you at the gun range, you'll go on the list, you know. And the facial recognition will be looking for these people, much like the Chinese facial recognition. And if you enter the building, it will trigger some kind of response from law enforcement, you know. So the idea is to stop the school shootings before they happen. The problem is pretty much every school shooting has happened from kids that no one really thought was going to do that. The Parkland one was the big exception. That guy was clearly crazy, and several people had turned him in. But for the most part, this would have no impact. The most hilarious thing about this story is they took the top 10 weapons used for school shootings. Okay, the top 10. And if it sees one of those, it will also immediately contact the police. Why wouldn't you contact the police if you see any handgun or any gun entering a school, right? Like, why the top 10? Do I just need to go get a high point in order to do a school shooting now? You know, some garbage gun that no one likes? Maybe like an obscure... I'm going to get a Makarov 9mm because nobody has those in America, right? That's one of the stupidest things I've ever read in my life, you know? And that's a high bar. But yeah, you know, congratulations if you go to school. Facial recognition. That's what's going on. And our final story, I always put my favorite story at the end. And usually we vote on it, but today I'm by myself, so it's my favorite story. Oh, and drinking for the school shooters. I'm about halfway, so yeah, two more news episodes. That was a small drink. China also using facial recognition cameras, and it was almost like China heard about our facial recognition, and they were like, oh man, You're using it like beginner. We're going to do expert level dystopia. We're going to use it in the individual classrooms to measure attentiveness. This is fantastic. I've got to show you. Yeah. This is the interface that the teacher will have. And so this is an average of like how many students are happy, how many are sad, how many are not paying attention. And the teacher is going to have this at all times, like a dashboard of what's going on in their classroom. Amazing. So you can't just like, if you just zone out, the facial recognition is going to know. You have to be attentive. And this is, an AI camera facial recognition type of thing that is just pure dystopia. Like you're not even allowed a moment inside your own mind. You have to constantly be focused on the propaganda. It's incredible. It's a bold move, and you really can only get away with it in China. But eventually, I think what's going to happen is this is going to be super effective. You know, kids, the grades are going to go up and they're going to be more attentive, and they're going to weed out. They're going to just take the kids who don't pay attention and send them to some secret work camps or something. And other countries are going to see this and they're going to be like, oh, we could improve our education scores if we just did that. And that's what they're going to do. And that's dark. It's the darkest story of the week. Well, is it? I'm going to say it is. I don't remember what tomorrow stories are going to be. This was government and security, in case you didn't know. Tomorrow, I don't know. I don't know what's going to be tomorrow because I didn't pay attention, but it's going to be, I don't know. I don't know if it'll be entertaining. I can't say that. I just realized I can't say that, but it's going to be. It's going to exist. There's going to be a broadcast tomorrow, and you should be there for it. And, yeah, halfway through the bottle of wine, I'll continue to progress through the bottle of wine too. I might stop on episode 3 and just coast because, again, I got to sober up before I go home. So, yeah. Thanks for being here. Thanks again to the patrons who paid for these TVs and the set redesign. I'm sure you noticed one part of the set redesign I'm not even going to talk about. We're never going to mention her. I just kind of did, but yeah, see you tomorrow.